You don't look at what God has told you to do. You look at the God who told you to do it. And you attach yourself to that. Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men."
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Never Come Down and was recorded live at the Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today's sermon is Never Come Down. Can we please stand one last time for the reading of God's holy word? This key verse is going to be in Nehemiah verse 6:3. Nehemiah 6:3. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. "So I sent messengers to them saying, 'I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you?'" Heavenly Father, we come to you today, Lord, and we pray that you will open up our hearts, God, that you will speak through me, your servant, O Lord, and that the people here will receive, and that we will carry your word out of this house, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, for some of you who are not familiar with what's going on in Nehemiah, Nehemiah was told by God to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, which was a holy task, a divine task to do. Amen. Nehemiah was trying to do something for God, and he had enemies coming out of the woodwork trying to discourage him, trying to delay him, trying to stop him, trying to kill him. This is Old Testament. This is before Jesus. Yet even then, we see opposition to doing good for God. Nehemiah was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, and his enemies did not want him to succeed. They tried many different approaches to lure him away from his work. None of them succeeded. He would not come down. See, what they wanted to do is they wanted to take him away from his work for God. Any way they could, they were writing him letters of invitation. "Come on down and talk with us. We're your friends." But they were going to backstab him. Ever have anybody talk sweet to you at work and they're after your job? They were after his life. They were trying to lure him down from all of his friends. See, let me tell you something. When you're doing something for God and he's spoken something into your heart, you're going to get opposition from it. We have our enemies. Nehemiah had his enemies, and what they wanted to do was get him away from his group. Satan wants to get you away from your group, your church. He wants to call you out and tell you, quit your church. Walk away. Because he knows that you're among friends. So he wants to say, stop that work and get down here. Come on down here to me. I got something better for you. I got something that sounds really good. But once you get here, I'm going to stick a dagger in your back. Nehemiah knew better than to separate from his group. His enemies knew that if they could get Nehemiah away from his group and separated from his protection, that they could get him alone and kill him. And they knew that without the leader, the work would stop because he was the driving force. Ultimately, it was God that was the driving force, but God was using Nehemiah. Let's put this into context today. I'm your pastor. If I get attacked, you're being attacked. If I get hurt, you're being hurt spiritually. Satan knows this. So he wants to put pressure on me. He wants to take me out so he can make the church fall. But the point that I'm making is that Satan wants to attack the leadership. Men, you're the leader of your home. If Satan can get into your life, he can get into everything you're doing. Your home, your kids, your finances, Oh, and he'll do it too. See, as men of our household, we are to spiritually, lovingly, gently guide our women and instruct them in the Word of God. But Satan, he wants to lure you away from the Word of God. Because if he lures you away from the Word of God, he's lured you away from the work of God. And if he's lured you away from the work of God, then he's lured you away from the blessings of God. Once he takes your blessings away, there's nothing coming into your home now. The power of God is not prevalent in your home. So your enemy wants to lure you away, get you alone, and destroy you. But Nehemiah saw what the enemy was doing and says, no, I'm standing still. I'm going to do what God told me to do. Praise God. Now, listen, I got 3 points I want to make today. First of all, Nehemiah did not come down because Nehemiah had attached himself to a divine cause. Nehemiah had attached himself to a divine cause. Now, listen, if you're working for anything outside of what God has told you to do, it's not a divine cause. And you could end up failing at what you're doing. But when you attach yourself to a divine cause, you have divine power to follow it through. Nehemiah said, listen, I'm not devoting myself to the walls that I'm building for God. I'm devoting myself to the God who told me to build the walls. Get it? You don't look at what God has told you to do. You look at the God who told you to do it. And you attach yourself to that. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. See, when you're out there working for God, you don't worry about what other people are thinking about you or how they're looking at you. You look at the God that has told you to do it. And you say, I'm serving you, not the thing. Because when we get into serving things, we get into idolatry. I did it for the money. I did it for the praise. I did it for the respect. I did it to be noticed. I did it because I was bored. No, you do it because God asked you to do it. And you achieved it because God gave you the power to achieve it. Nehemiah was working for God, and he knew that his work was for divine purposes. Now listen, if you ever question yourself, am I doing this for God? You need to ask yourself if what I'm doing lines up with the Word of God. God is never going to tell you to do something that contradicts his holy word. But Nehemiah was working for God, and he knew that his work was for divine purposes. He knew that he wasn't just building a wall. He knew he was serving God by building those walls. We often get into situations that don't look like it's going to succeed. Why am I having so much problems? But then we look at the God that told us to do it, and we say, Lord, I'm going to stop questioning this and start working the way you told me to. We too should work for God with a kingdom attitude, knowing that what we plant today, we will reap a harvest for in another day. See, you can't put plants in the ground, seeds in the ground, and expect to have fruit on them tomorrow, right? You plant an apple tree, you're going to have apples tomorrow? No. Farmers know that you have to plant seeds and water that seed and care and fertilize that seed, right? And then you get the fruits. Parents, you know the same thing, right? You teach your children junk, and you're going to reap junk as fruit from your kids, right? I used to ask my daddy, why are you so hard on me? Because I want you to be a man that cares about people, he would tell me. And to be a man, you have to go through some things that teach you right from wrong. My dad had a kingdom attitude in my life because he knew that what he was planting in my life as a child, I would reap fruits from as I grew up. Discipline. We too should have an attitude of kingdom. We grow weary in our labor if we think only of the here and now. See, if you're doing something for God, and all you're doing is thinking about what's happening to you right now, this very moment, what's going to happen tomorrow, what happened yesterday, you're going to get worried about some stuff. We must see the eternal reward that God has set before us. God has a plan that is unfolding, and we shall see it in his time. in his time, not ours. See, we can't come to God and say, I want it now, 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 now. God says, no, I got some things to work out, and I got to work them out in you. So don't grow worry. Just know that God is working it out. Look towards the future. When we work for a divine cause, we give up our own ambitions and surrender to God. See, you know when you're working for God because God rarely, rarely shows you the reward in it for yourself in the immediate. Now, you might get prideful. You might get puffed up. You might get a little bit big-headed. But that's not God's intentions. Amen? But when we do it for the divine cause, we actually surrender over to God and say, Lord, not my will, your will. Then we stop caring about ourselves so much and start caring about what God wants. We got to stop thinking about ourselves so much. If I thought about myself all the time, why, I just walk away from the church. Amen? I just walk away. If you guys thought about yourselves all the time, you would just walk away, right? We can then trust in him and leave all the consequences up to him. See, this is the beautiful thing about God. When you say, God, here's my life, do with it as you will, he's not going to hurt you. See, a lot of people are afraid to pray for God's will. But you know what the real fear is? The real fear when they pray to God and ask for his will is that they might have to give up something. Selfishness. Well, God, I just might have to do it your way. And that's not going to be no fun. You're going to take away all the fun stuff I like to do. You're going to bring me through something I don't want to go through. You could do that all on your own. If you don't start praying, if you don't start surrendering to God, you're going to bring yourself through something you don't want to go through. Praise God. Yeah, somebody out there hear what I'm saying? You better start praying for the will of God, because the will of God in your life is to prosper you, to give you a hope, to give you a future, not to harm you. He's not looking down evil upon you. He's not trying to strike you down. He's trying to walk you through a blessed life. When Christians forget their divine cause in Christ, we are lured down to the level of our enemies. Somebody hear that? When Christians forget their divine cause in Christ, we're lured down to the level of our enemies. Satan brings somebody into your life, give you a hard time, hurt you, and you say, I'm going to pay them back. Well, the Bible says don't pay evil back for evil, but to bless your enemies. Let God have his vengeance. See, when you strike back at your enemies, you lower yourself down to your enemies. When your enemies cuss you out and you cuss them back, you just lowered yourself right down to them. You're lowered down to their level. You've forgotten your divine cause in Christ. You've forgotten it. Now they got you. You've been lured down into their territory. Dangerous place to be. Dangerous place to be. The better place to be is to be elevated above that with Christ and say, Lord, the Bible says, vengeance is mine. The Bible says, leave room for God's vengeance. If you want to pay your enemies back, pay them back with blessings and leave them to God. He knows what to do with them far better than you do. Praise God. You pray for your enemies that the Lord will reach out to them and touch them, that he will bring them closer to him. And if they need justice done, God will deliver it. Point number two, Nehemiah didn't come down because Nehemiah knew the deceptive plans of his enemies. You got to know what your enemies are up to, right? Listen to 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober. That means be clear-headed. Think straight. Okay? Don't be so naive. Be vigilant. That means to be alert. Watch around. Pay attention. More than that, practice this stuff. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Listen to this. He's looking for you. He's seeking. And he wants to find your weakness and devour you. Consume you. Destroy you. Kill you off. He's not playing a game with your life. He's not playing a game with your life. Nehemiah knew the deceptive plans of his enemies. And you know what? If you don't read your Bible, If you don't pay attention to what God's telling you, you won't know what your adversary, the devil, is up to in your life. See, the devil will come at you and you won't even see what he's up to because you don't know your enemy. Your enemy never takes a break. While you're sleeping, he's planning. Ever wake up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and you're worried about something that you weren't worried about the day before? That's your enemy trying to keep you awake so he can mess up your next day. That's your enemy trying to plant hate in your heart against your enemy so you strike out at them. That's your enemy waking you up. Hey, wake up. Let me tell you about so-and-so. And then you have an argument in your head about that person, and they're not even there. And you're like, I should have said this to them. Ever wonder why you do that? You say, I should have said this when they said that. And you don't even know why you're doing it. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and you're having a conversation with a person who ain't even there. That's the devil talking to you. God doesn't tell you to call up people and talk bad about them. God doesn't tell you to do that. We're the image of him. Why would God tell you to talk bad about another person and call everybody up and say bad things about them? That's the image of God you're talking about. You're going to have to deal with him now. Better watch it. When bad things happen to you and you've done something bad to somebody else, you got to ask yourself, am I getting paid back? Bet you are, because you reap what you sow. Satan is our enemy, and he uses people. You ever feel used by the devil? He can use you if you let him. And when he's done, he don't want nothing else to do with you, does he? Once your mouth got you into trouble and you're sinking down into the depths, he's like, you're on your own now. Now you got nothing to say. Now you ain't so brave and talking like you were because now you're in trouble, right? Man, what did I open my stupid mouth for? Satan is your enemy. People ain't your enemy. It's the devil that they're listening to him. The world and even our own selves are against us. You know that the world out there lures you in, right? You turn on the TV and there's all these sexual innuendos. The commercials have become filthy. The shows are, man, half the time all I hear in the TV show anymore is beep, 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 beep. And that's just the ones they're beeping out. You turn on TV and all you hear is people cussing and yelling and screaming at each other and treating each other harshly. And it lures you in and you think everybody's doing it, so why shouldn't I? Well, not everybody's doing it. I'm not doing it. But then there are ourselves who are against us. See, you need to know yourself too. You need to know yourself. I was talking to somebody who was going through an addiction and they told me, I can't be around people who do drugs. Well, that's good because you shouldn't be anyways. But they told me, no, you don't understand. I can't even be around somebody who used to do drugs. Because if they even bring the subject up to me, I want to use again. They knew themselves. They knew what they were capable of doing and what they couldn't do. So for their own sake, they said, I got to stay away from people like that. So Satan is our enemy and he uses people, the world, and even ourselves. He analyzes us. He says, I know what makes you tick. We must not make the mistake that Satan is not after us. Listen, the biggest lie Satan ever told is that he ain't real. If you think that Satan is not real, he's got you fooled. Because Jesus spoke of Satan. The Bible speaks of Satan. Satan is a fallen angel. He was the greatest, most powerfulest angel God ever made. The other angels don't even challenge him because he was made by the hand of God. But he became prideful and he wanted to run things. He couldn't do that with God, so he wants to take the image of God, each and every one of us, and manipulate us and say, look what I'm doing to the image of God. See, we're made by the hand of God out of love. We're made to see the beauty that God has made. We are made to have feelings. We are made to have free will. Satan wants to take that free will away from you and enslave you. He wants to bind you up in sin and say, you listen to me. Now listen, at first it sounds like a good deal because what he offers you is good stuff. If you listen to me, you can have this nice car. If you listen to me, you can have this wonderful person. If you listen to me, you can have this wonderful thing. Whatever it is, listen to me. I'll give it to you. But once he gives it to you, the very thing you accepted from him becomes your enslavement. Because the thing that he offers you is something that God never intended you to have. And once you take a hold of something that God says you cannot have, you have disobeyed God. And the longer you hold on to the thing that God says you cannot have, the longer you will be enslaved by the thing that you're holding on to. In Africa, they cut a hole in coconuts and they tie the other end of the coconut to a tree and they wait for a monkey to come along and he sticks his hand into the coconut. Picture is kind of cute, right? And he scoops the meat out of the coconut and he makes a fist to hold on to it. But now the hole is just big enough to get his hand through, but not his fist. So then the hunter comes along and he sees the monkey trapped, and the monkey will not let go of the coconut meat. All he's got to do is release his hand and he can get free, but he won't do it. He will hold on to that coconut till the very end when the hunter comes up with his sword or knife or machete and takes his life. Because he won't let go of something he shouldn't have. We do the same thing. We won't let go of something. Pride. Anger issues. Whatever it is. Greed. Whatever it is that we have, we got to let go of it or it will destroy you. Might not be tomorrow. Might not be next week. But the longer you hold on to it, the longer you're going to be injured by it. See, just because something hasn't killed you yet doesn't mean it's not hurting you. It's affecting you. The longer you hold on to something, the more Satan has a bond on you. People who smoke cigarettes tell me, I only started with about one or two cigarettes a day. Then I went up to like a half a pack. Well, how many smoke now? Well, about two packs. Didn't happen overnight. He is always planning and scheming. Satan is always planning. He's always scheming. See, that's the thing. He never takes a break. You might be driving down the road having a good day, and Satan sees it, and he says, I'm going to get them. I'm going to get him. I'm going to get her. I'm going to get that person. He's always planning something. You can't have a good day without knowing that Satan is there working against you. You have to always be on your guard. That doesn't mean to worry all the time, but it means to pray without ceasing. It means to come to the Lord and say, God, guide my footsteps because I don't want to run into the snare of the devil. And if I got a hold of something in my life like the monkey, please help me let go of it. Let me let go. I pray that all the time. God, shut the doors. I don't need to be walking through. Open the doors you want me to come through. Praise God. Nehemiah knew his enemies and was unwilling to give in to them. Unwilling to give in to them. Understand that once you know your enemy, you know your enemy's motives. And when your enemy comes up and tries to offer you something, you don't have to take it because you know what your divine cause is. You know that your divine cause does not line up with the offer of the enemy. Praise God. So you say to your enemy, no, thank you. I am not going to be moved. God put me here, and here I shall stay until God moves me. You can't move me. The world can't move me. The only person who can move me is me, myself, and I, and God. See, because you have free will. But if you surrender that free will over to God, then God's got your will. Now God's got your back. Now God is going to make you unmovable. It's a beautiful feeling being unmovable. It's a beautiful feeling being in the obedience of God because I know that nobody can touch me. Don't mess with me because you got to get through my Jesus. And woe to the man who comes up against my God because he has placed me here and he says, what I have put in place, nobody moves. Nobody takes away. Be in the will of God and you will be unmovable and you will never come down. As Christians, we must be unwilling to compromise on the principles of our faith. We must be unwilling to compromise on the principles of our faith. Third and last point I want to make is Nehemiah knew the divine reward for his faith. How many of you guys know that God wants to reward you? How many of you guys know that there is a divine reward for obedience? Come on, if you guys go to school and you get an education, is there a reward in that? You get a diploma, right? And a diploma opens up a door for a job, right? And respect, right? And money, right? There's a reward for doing good. What, you think we serve a weak God that doesn't give us a reward for the things that we do? Nehemiah knew that there was a divine reward for his obedience in God. But see, lack of faith will keep us from moving when God tells us to move. Lack of faith will keep us from obeying when God tells us to obey, because we think there's nothing in it for me. I'd rather go over here and disobey God and get a short-term reward that I know will be taken away from me because God is just and I'm going to reap what I sow, rather than listen to God and believe God that there's a divine reward that's coming down the road. Hebrews 6:10 promises this. Listen, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards his name. He's not unjust. He's not going to forget what you've done. God never forgets a good deed done for his kingdom. Ever, never, ever. He will never, ever forget it. God may not always reward us right away, immediately, at the moment, but we can be sure our reward is coming and that it is safely kept for us in heaven. Matthew 6:20 says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." Listen to me. When you do something for God, he's got such a safe house. He's got such a place to put your blessings. The devil can't even see where they're at. You couldn't mess them up if you tried. Every time you do something for God, he's putting it up in a safe somewhere, ready to disperse a blessing with interest, okay? He's not going to go tit for tat. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. He is going to take what you have done, whether it be a good deed, whether it be your tithes, whether it be a love offerings, whether it be anything whatsoever that was done out of the motivation of heart and love for him. And he is going to store it away in heaven where no one, nothing is going to be able to touch it. You may not get it tomorrow. You may not get it next week. But I promise you, when the storms come blowing on your door, when the ice storm starts knocking down the trees in your yard and you don't know where to go, God is going to say, "I'm going to open up the floodgates of heaven and I'm going to bless you because I've got some stuff up here stored for you."
This is Misha again to remind you that James
with interest
loves hearing from his listeners.
I got a powerful God.
You can contact
he takes care
him
of those
via email
him.
At but James
if you want to hold on to what you've got, if you want to keep
again,
it to yourself,
James at well, a word from God.
You'll see it slither away out of your hands.
Or write to James Lindley Ministries,
go,
P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.